Welcome to another episode of the Saddle Up Show with Shy and Destin, brought to you by the good people at Stampede Blue, the official coat site of SB Nation. Destin, my fellow Colts fan, how are you?
Your fellow Colts fan.
I want to say something dramatic, but you know how the last intro went that we had to start over, so I just decided to
couldn't
keep
do it
simple.
Again. Yeah, right. couldn't do it again. But I'm doing good, man. I mean, it just feels like everything's different about being a Colts fan this past week. It's crazy, like what.
How many times can
a
you
week
say that
do?
The past month?
I don't know, man. Just every week has been a roller coaster, but this has been a positive change in a way. Like, it just feels like this team has life. It just feels like this team has a chance. Like, this team is a football team again. Whereas this past month has taken like 12 years off my life trying to cover every switch and every fire and every benching. I'm just ready for some stability, and I think we're heading that direction. I don't know if that stability is going to lead to many more wins. Well, I mean, we're going to see. We're going to kind of see where we stack up with a big one coming into town. Former Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni, former AFC South rival A.J. Brown. Thank you again to Tennessee for getting that man out this big. But it'll be a big one this week. It'll kind of show you where the Colts actually stand.
Yeah, I'd much rather play A.J. Brown once every maybe 4 years possibly than twice a year. So anytime you can take A.J. Brown out of the division, that's a win for us. But so where do we want to start? We can start with the injury report. Did you happen to see it? I know we can talk about Shaq Leonard since we last recorded. Shaq Leonard had back surgery again. I believe it was second time this season. Well, this year.
Second time in 5 months, I think, right?
Yeah. Second time in a 5 month span. We're wishing him a speedy recovery and hope everything is well with him. I know the surgery kind of came as a shocker. I knew he was going to consult with a specialist, but I didn't know if the surgery was on a table so soon.
It was
But,
very quick turnaround.
Yeah, that's what I'm
so
saying.
They must have seen that the nerve damage was not completely fixed where they wanted it to. I know that the setback that happened this past week, it just led to there just being way more pain in his everyday movement. So it wasn't just game movement anymore, where before, when he was playing, even playing here this past few weeks, he was playing through pain a little bit. So they knew it wasn't fixed. They knew it was going to be a situation where he was going to have to get something else done. But the setback, what I was told is the setback started to make it to where his everyday movement was no longer comfortable, and you just can't operate like that. Like that, you cannot operate where every day is in pain, because your mentality is going to be different. You're just going to feel defeated all the time. And they had to do what was right. They need to get it right for him, for his career, for him personally. It was just important that they figure out what needs to be done. And to me, it just felt like the right decision. The linebacking groom is playing as good as they've played maybe ever. So play-wise, I think it's a great time for them to be able to make that sacrifice and have a guy like Shaq in the year. But also, it's just the best chance of him getting to 100% by 2023.
Yeah, man. When it starts to affect, like you said, your everyday life, I've seen what injuries could do to a person, you know, mentally, on the mental side of it, and having to pick yourself up all of those times mentally and emotionally is almost just as challenging, if not more, than it is physically. So I feel bad for Shaq. I know how bad he wants to be out there. He's such a high energy guy. He gives this coast team so much fire and so much juice. You know, missing him is going to be huge. I know the Colts haven't played with him all season pretty much, but just not having him around as much, it's going to be a big blow to the team. But other than that, looking at the injury report, I'm kind of concerned about DeForest Buckner's neck.
I don't mess with necks, man. Necks,
yeah.
Necks and backs.
Yep. Those are the two things, man. Those things, when you see them pop up on the injury report, they can linger and hang around and leads to all kind of different type of injuries, nerve damage and different things. As we're seeing what's going on with Shaq, which pretty much started off as back, was as a calf injury, you know, calf not firing off, nerves going up to his back. and it can affect a lot, man. So that's what I'm really watching on this injury report. We know Deion Jackson with the knee, and Quiddy Pay with the ankle, man. That ankle, Quiddy Pay, who's having a phenomenal season as far as taking that next step. We saw it happening. He had suffered a setback. He came back. He actually looked really good when he returned, but now he's back on the injury report with the ankle injury. Hopefully, he's just, it's not too troubled. He's really just resting it, and he'll be back out there practicing tomorrow. Me and Destin was talking about the injury reports. These Wednesday injury reports, it's really tough to gauge them because so much of this is just rest or just giving a vet, some time to heal up and get right for the rest of the week. Thursday and Friday is really going to tell a story. So we're looking forward to seeing what's going on with that.
One of the names I'm watching, though, just because I don't know if everybody saw through the workout wire, the NFL wire,
Oh,
the
yeah.
Colts worked out about four long snappers. Saturday was asked about it a little bit. Luke Rose got a little banged up, but him and his wife are also expecting a child here really soon. So there's that going on as well. So I'm really interested there because, I mean, long snapper is one of those positions that people undervalue until you have a bad one.
And let me tell you, let me translate what Destin is trying to say. He's trying to say his wife is on the side of him saying, tell him your ankle hurts. Tell him your calf hurts. You're not coming. You're not coming this week. I have to have this baby and you're going to be there. That's pretty
Hey,
much what happened with Luke Rose.
luckily for him, it's a home game. I mean, I don't know if you saw last week on Thursday Night Football, the left tackle for the Falcons, his wife went into labor early that morning, around
Who
like
is the
five.
left tackle for the Falcons? Caleb McGarry? Jake Matthews?
I think Matthews, right?
Yeah, I think it's
Jake
Jake
Matthews out
Matthews.
of Texas
Yeah.
A&M.
Yep.
Longtime vet, longtime left tackle. Something the Colts are hoping to have in a longtime left tackle. But so like Jake Matthews, his wife went into labor at like 5 a.m. and he was already in Carolina for a Thursday Night Football.
Wow.
So he flew out to back home, made it. Was there for the birth of his child, then got back on a plane. I believe Arthur Blank sent his personal jet to get Matthews, flew him back out to Carolina, and started Thursday Night Football.
That's gangster. That is,
Hey,
he a legend. He a legend for that, man.
and I can't imagine the amount of brownie points he got with his wife that night.
I can't imagine the amount of stress that was on it, man.
Oh, no way. But like I said, Luke Rhodes is a little bit, he's in a good place because it's a home game this week. So technically, if there is a birth Friday, for example, Saturday, it's not as hard to play Sunday. Now, that's a personal decision for family stuff, but that's something because there's multiple things there that are interesting to me. Because just signing a long snapper off the street can cause some very bad things. With a punting game that's been up and down already, Matt Hack has had some great games. Matt Hack has had some awful games. And if you're having an awful game as a punter and it's that noticeable, it's that bad. It is that bad. And against
Absolutely.
Washington, he was useless.
Oh, he was terrible. He was
But
awful.
I wanted to just start letting Matt Ryan like throw cherry bombs as punts instead of what we were seeing.
It can't get much worse than how he played that game, man. And I'm so glad that that game is behind us. Although I wish Matt Ryan would have started that game because we probably would have won. But let's get into these questions. We got a bunch of them. The first question is from a familiar person, the new King of Colts, not the old one. The old King of Colts suck anyway.
The
I don't know
old
why anybody.
geezer.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody will follow that guy. But the new King of Colts asks if some sort of Freak Friday, I guess he meant Freaky Friday, event were to occur and you became Jim Irsay. Answer the question below. Destin, 2023 GM, who's your 2023 GM? Who's your 2023 head coach? And who's your 2023 first round pick? And he also has an additional question of who are you re-signing for 2023 out of Paris Campbell, Bobby Okereke, and I'm assuming this is Tyquan Lewis.
So is the question who I would personally hire or who I think they're
Yeah,
gonna
he
take?
said if you became Jim Irsay. So it's you.
Dang.
Oh, and he put a disclaimer saying, realistic answers only, please. I'm sure we all would want to get Bryce Young, but that's not going to
Don't tell me what can't happen.
happen.
But so 2023 GM, I have been very intrigued by Louis Riddick over the last few cycles.
Okay.
A lot of people are going to go out saying all these things about going the analyst route. It didn't work for the Vegas. I get it. But Riddick has so much more experience, I think, than people understand. He's worked in the player personnel department. He has been around football. He consults multiple teams across the league, even, which we've seen help Jeff Saturday get a job this past couple of weeks. But so I am just really interested in Louis Riddick. I think Louis Riddick would have a lot of connections in building a staff, because
Yeah.
that's going to be the important part. Is once Chris Ballard is let go, which I do believe is going to happen, you're more likely than not having to fill a lot of spots. I
Breaking
mean,
news. Destin said it here. Chris Ballard will be let go. So
it could be
feel
res
free to attack if you
It could be he resigns at the end of the year. It could
want.
be like, I think it's going to be one of those mutual things. I just don't think it makes sense going forward. And I call a spade, man. And it just looks like Chris Ballard is going to be elsewhere. But there's a lot of guys in this front office that are up and comers that you're going to have to fill those spots. I mean, I doubt,
Absolutely.
unless you want to promote Ed Dobbs or Morocco Brown to GM, those guys are going somewhere else. They're going to find a better spot to keep elevating. The scouting department is pretty much all Ballard guys, a couple of guys that stayed pre-Ballard, I believe. So that's an area where you're going to have to watch, that's going to have to be filled a lot of. So I think Riddick would have a lot of connections across the league to build a great staff. But I also think he's an up-and-comer, and I think he has a lot of potential to build where the football is moving. So
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Riddick for GM. Do you want to go? I give a GM, you give a GM, I give a head
That's
coach.
fine.
Okay.
I will go I'm gonna go Malik Boyd. He's the director of player scouting for the Buffalo Bills. I think he's super talented and he just seems like a coach type of guy for us. His manners, the way he carries himself, a real true professional. A lot of the guys respect him and are responsible for a lot of the Bills' homegrown talent that's over there right now. Malik Boyd is my early favorite as of right now. I love the Louis Riddick, though. You know, I don't know if Louis Riddick is going to come over.
Hey, he loves the
And
Colts.
he does. He does. He
I
is a
swear,
Colts advocate.
there are very few people that tweet more about the Colts than Louis Riddick, I feel like.
And Dan Orlovsky.
Hey, let's build a whole staff, analysts.
Yeah.
We're just gonna milk ESPN and Fox Sports dry of their
Okay.
personalities.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Malik Boyd. So okay, up next, who you got for head coach?
So you went Buffalo for the GM. I'm gonna go Buffalo for the head coach. I personally think the Jeff Saturday era is gonna end in one or two ways. I think one, it goes well enough and he gets elevated to a front office role where I believe he's wanted to be anyway. I don't know if it's like a director of player personnel. I don't know, like something big that way. Or if he likes head coaching enough, I do think it could be him as the head coach. So I should mention that as a caveat. I do think he will be in the organization. I just don't know which one. I'm going to lean that I think he gets elevated into the front office. And I'm going to go someone who keeps that fiery personality, but is going to move you in a direction of offensive mind that I think is going to need to happen as you're about to draft a guy in the next one of the next 2 years. And I'm going to go Ken Dorsey out of Buffalo. The offensive coordinator there. Buffalo's not missed a beat on offense since Brian Daboll left, who's having a lot of success over there in New York. I think Dorsey has that fire that you want to be able to keep moving with that Saturday brings, but I also think he's going to be over an area that is important to get a head coach if you're about to go the young quarterback route.
Yeah, that's Ken Dorsey. We all know him. Well, I know him originally from the legendary quarterback of those Miami teams. What probably the greatest college football team of all time, possibly. But he's been an awesome coach since he's gotten his shot in the NFL. A super bright young mind. Really picked up right where Brian Daboll left off. What he done with Josh Allen being his quarterback coach, even when Brian Daboll was there, was a phenomenal job. So his resume speaks for itself. I'm gonna go with a guy that's also an offensive coordinator right now, but he's the offensive coordinator of the team we're playing. We're gonna get a good look at him coming up this week. I'm gonna go with Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen's phenomenal job he's doing with the Eagles. What he did last year with him, and I'm sure Sirianni did together, as far as the first week, the first few weeks of the season, up until the Eagles' bye week, actually, it was trying to run more of a Frank Reich offense, and it just wasn't working for them. Jalen Hurts wasn't comfortable with it. The guys that was trying to run it with wasn't the right fit for them. So they really pivoted and came back off the bye week with a revamped run game, and they literally ran the ball down team stroke for the rest of the season. They finished with they was the number one rush team in the NFL last year, and just that ability to pivot and revamp a whole game plan over a bye week just shows me your ability to adjust on the fly, and that's something I don't think Indy's had in a long time. The ability to pivot and turn into something else. And what they're doing this year is nothing like what they did last year. They're throwing the ball well. They're running it, of course. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. But Shane Steichen, young guy, I believe he's in his mid to late 30s. He's the bright offensive mind that I think this team can use, that can take this team into the future. He's also a guy that you would definitely want a young quarterback to come into, which is setting up my next pick, but Destin is going to go next. So who would be your first round draft pick?
So first, just thoughts on the Shane, I guess. I do want to note that the ability to go from Miles Sanders being irrelevant to Miles Sanders being a steady, solid running get back in the league this year has been really interesting to watch. That's something that I think should be up on his resume a little bit, is just the ability to scheme up the run game better than a lot of guys in the league right now. Because I think what they're doing in Philadelphia, even though they don't have the most talented running back in the league, they scheme things up so well for him that he it, it's making the game simpler for Miles, to me. I don't think Miles Sanders has taken this giant step as a running back this year. I just think they're simplifying it for him and making it simpler. We've hit your hole and we're going to get it to you. We have an awesome offensive line and they're making the best with what they can. So props to Shane for just helping rejuvenate Miles Sanders' career a little bit there. But
Absolutely.
so first round pick. It's a hard one, man. I mean, he went Anthony Richardson, your boy, Shad. My boldest take.
I don't say it unless you're picking them, because I don't want you to say the person I'm going to pick.
I mean, my boldest take is that the Colts don't go quarterback.
Okay, all right, I'm fine with that.
I just think where you're going to end up, unless you trade up, and where we're at right now, I'm just going to speak as if we end up with the in the 12 to 15 range is where it seems like the boat is going. And I just think the position of need is going to be edge rusher. And I just think quarterback is going to have a lot of guys gone unless you go certain guys. I'm not going to say names because I don't want to steal any of you, but I have a personal favorite that I'll mention after you pick. Like, do I have to say a name? Like, do I have to randomly pick an edge rusher out of a hat right now for the.
Oh, you want to pick an edge rusher? You could go position. I think position is fine.
Like, I feel very confident that it's going to be an edge rusher. I think the Yannick experiment. It's a 1-year deal, and I just don't know if he's done enough for the Colts to want to pay him going forward. I think Quiddy Pay offers a lot on the outside, and as a different type of edge rusher, sets the edge really well in the run game, offers a good amount in the pass game. But I think opposite of him, you need to have that alpha dog pass rushing edge rusher on the outside. Who is that that they go? Like, I
It
mean,
could
if I had,
go in a few different directions.
everyone would love Will Anderson, who's going to go top five at the
I was about
very
to say,
least.
that's one person it won't be.
Yeah, say if I had to say the realistic route, not going to be him.
Yeah.
Miles Murphy out of Clemson's a name you could watch. Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech's a guy who's dropping up draft boards right now. Andre Carter. Like, there's a lot of guys in this upcoming class that are going to be fun through the draft process. And if we were in January, I would have better names to give you out of where we're drafting. I just don't know
Yeah,
where we're going
so
to be
early.
at. My bold take is they wait on quarterback till 2024. Matt Ryan is the starter next year. People hate it after the draft, but that 2024 class is so good, guys. Just wait.
Okay, I'm gonna go with a guy. I know earlier this week I tweeted that Anthony Richardson is gonna wow the most people in the pre-draft process, which I still believe. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe he's probably going to rise the furthest out of all those guys. But the person I think the Colts are gonna take is a person that's going to also rise up draft boards and sneak into the first round, somewhere in the middle of the first round. And it's a young man that plays quarterback on the West Coast. I'm gonna go with Cameron Ward. Cameron Ward is 20 years old, a phenomenal talent, extremely raw, awesome athlete, can absolutely sling it all over the field. I had a chance to watch him really, really closely. You know, when he played USC, he had a phenomenal game that game. USC ended up winning the game, but Cameron Ward is phenomenal, man. And with the right coaching, a guy like Shane Steichen or a guy like Ken Dorsey, for that matter. I think what they would be able to do with him, if you can hone him and clean up some of his mechanic issues, what he can do on the move and outside of the pocket, I think it's a no-brainer. You go with that guy. He has the upside of any quarterback in the draft, probably any quarterback not named Anthony Richardson, because I think his upside is off the charts if he's able to reel that in. He probably has the lowest floor, Anthony Richardson, out of all of those guys, but his potential is through the roof. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Cameron Ward though. Okay, really quick, because we spent a lot of time on here. Who are you re-signing out of Paris Campbell, Bobby Okereke, and Tyquan Lewis?
I mean, I don't think Tyquan Lewis will get re-signed. It sucks to back-to-back injuries like he did, unless he takes another really, really cheap deal. And if it's a new coaching staff, that's gonna be very hard. No connection there, front office or head coaching staff wise. Paris and Bobby are both playing themselves into just find a way. Paris will be cheaper than I think is necessary to let him go, so we'll re-sign him. And I'm almost at the point where you have to tag Bobby if you can't sign him. You don't know what Shaq's going to be post all these injuries. You have to have some assurance there. Figure it out afterwards. The salary cap is fake. You can maneuver that thing as many ways as you want. Get a creative mind in here and throw on them void years.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do to keep Bobby. I'm in the same boat. That answer, I don't want to say it's easy to discredit what Paris is doing, but I really don't have to spend much time thinking about this one. I love what Paris is becoming. I love who Paris always had the potential to be, and it's good to see him finally, evolving into that. But Bobby is a flat out stud, man. Bobby has top 10 linebacker potential, and I'm actually fine with the player he is right now. If he stayed this good, if this is his peak and he remained this good for the next 4 or 5 years, I'm perfectly fine with Bobby. But so I'm gonna go with Bobby.
I mean, that's without a doubt. Like, I think there's an argument to be made that he is playing at a top 10 off-ball linebacker level right now, and you can't let that walk. You just
No.
can't. Going over here to the next question. This is coming from Hoof Talk at Hoof underscore Talk. HOOF Hoof.
Hoof.
Hoof underscore talk. I don't think we've graded it before. We've talked with Hoof Talk before on Twitter. I don't know if we've ever graded as that.
Yeah, Hoof Talk bullied me into following him today. Yeah, you know, he
Hashtag
guilt
peer
tripped me.
pressure.
Hashtag right. Hashtag peer pressure. I'm gonna give his at name. It's coach related.
Yeah, you gotta
Well,
love the hoofs.
it's horse related. I'll say that. So I'm gonna give him a seven. He
I'm
has an
a
underscore in the middle of it,
hoof
right?
underscore talk.
I'm gonna give him a six. I'm gonna go
See,
six.
I'm gonna go six as well. I'm just not an underscore guy.
Yeah.
Nothing against hoof talk, but just gotta roll with a six. But big fan of you guys. You know, hoof talk, we're a big fan of you. We both follow you after the peer pressure today, I heard. Just wondering, do you think Mr. Irsay is putting any pressure on Chris Ballard to move and take the quarterback next draft? If so, who do you think the Colts are most interested in? I know it's way too early, but you're curious about your takes. My answer is really quick, and then you can go. I think the pressure is that Chris Ballard won't be here. I think that's what the pressure is
That's
right now. I don't think
yeah,
it's on
that's
him to
what I was about
draft
to
the
say.
next guy.
Yeah, I don't think Chris Ballard has that decision to make. I don't think he'll be the one making the decision, especially the way currently things are constructed right now. I really believe Jeff Saturday has more say on what goes on with this team as far as who's added, who's cut, who won't be here next year, and who will be here next year. So that question is pretty much I know we talked about a couple of quarterbacks, so there's no need to really dive back into that. But the guy, I'm not even allowed to say who they're most interested in. But yeah, so just
I mean,
play the
I'll
last
say,
segment.
I'll be real. I mean, they went and watched Will Levis a lot already. They went and watched him a lot. I think there's interest in this quarterback class. I think it's hard to say who they're the most interested until we actually get into the process because guys like Anthony Richardson, guys like Cam Ward. I mean, there's multiple guys that we don't even know if they're going to declare yet. Anthony Richardson and Cam Ward don't even technically have to come out right now. As good and stacked as that 2024 class is going to be, though. They probably need to declare if you want to go in the first round right now. But
Yeah. They had a guy I know that's a scout. He called me and told me he spoke with the coach personally. I got a good idea of a guy that they really like. I'll tell you after the show.
ooh boy, yay. So
What's
next up,
the next question?
Joshua M.
Oh yeah, Joshua, right here. What do you think the evaluation process for Saturday looks like? What in your guys' mind would Jeff need to do to earn the full-time gig?
To
Oh, I forgot
me,
to rate. We forgot to rate his at name. Hold on, his at name is at Nightshade 2252. Ooh, that's tough.
I like at Nightshade. It's different.
I like that too.
I would have rather it be like at Nightshade JM. Use your initials. Get the numbers out of it. I don't know what's available. Just saying, if you're listening and considering, that's a route you could go. But yeah, I'm gonna go a 6.5.
6.5. Nightshade's
Yeah,
a cool name, though. I really like
I say I don't dislike Nightshade.
I rock with that. I'll go six. I'll go six. Nightshade's pretty cool. This is the 2252 throwing me off. So if you can let me know what those numbers mean specifically to you, then I might be willing to bump that six up. His question is, what do you think the evaluation process for Saturday looks like? What in your guys' mind would Jeff need to do to earn the full-time gig?
I think he's done a lot of what Irsay already wanted. It was just all about changing the culture, all about changing the outlook of what this team is all about, what this team is gonna do, and just how they operate. It's just very different already. So I the big one to me, again, I think Jeff Irsay wants Saturday in the building. He's wanted him in the building for multiple years. So it's just all about what that looks like. If it is moving him into the front office, that's where he'll be. If he goes through coaching, likes coaching, and that's where he wants to be, I think that's what it comes down to. It's just, does Jeff Saturday want to be a head coach in the National Football League? And we'll find that out as the last seven games play out. My bet and my push would be that Jeff Saturday is going to end up being the director of player personnel.
Yeah, I see it being pretty much the same way. Ursay had a vision for what he wanted for this team, and I think Jeff is pretty much just the person, the vessel he's using to execute the vision. You know, they communicate a lot. They're really good friends. Ursay, I'm pretty sure, was keeping him abreast of the whole Frank situation and what it was going to look like. It's not a coincidence that that decision came a week after they were celebrating Tyron Glenn going into the Ring of Honor, and the whole Glory Squad was pretty much assembled. The Avengers was assembled, as I should say. I just really think that Ursay is going to slow walk this. I think he's going to go through the whole process at the end of the season, you know, the hiring process. But I think it's Jeff's job to lose, pretty much, unless Jeff just says he doesn't want to deal with the headache, everything that coaching becomes. Then I think it's his job, as long as he don't go out there and embarrass himself within the next 7 weeks. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree. Next one here, Barl with a donut emoji is his name. I don't know what Barl is, but
Barl.
if that's your name, that's interesting. At Barl's Barkley, Barls Barkley.
I see he's a Dallas Mavericks fan. I'm looking at his page right now. He's a Mavs fan, but he has Barl on his header. So I'm assuming his name is Barl. Barl's Barkley. I like to play on Charles, of course. Charles Barkley. No underscores, no numbers, nothing weird. I think I'm gonna give you a 7, Barl's. Barl's Barkley. It's hard to say your name pretty like fast though. Fluently. It's pretty tough. Can you
I
say
like
it quick? Can you say
Barls
Barl's
Barkley,
Barkley?
Barls Barkley, Barls Barkley, Barls Barkley, Barley's
Barley Barkley.
gets there. It gets you going, but
Yeah, it
I
does.
like Barls. I like Barls Barkley. I'm gonna go 7.5.
Oh, okay.
I like to play.
I
I
thought I
like
was high
the
with the 7. You were
there's
seven
no
and a half.
underscores, no numbers, play on words of the Charles Barkley. And if your name's Barls Barkley, that's even awesomer that your parents named you that, but
Yeah,
I'm taking it as a play on words.
me
So
too.
if your actual name is Barls Barkley, it may just be a 7 for me actually. But
Because it take the creativity out
yeah,
of it.
but if you just came up with Barls Barkley, 7.5 for me. I respect creativity online. His question is, "What's up, boys?" Nothing much, Barls. What's up
We're
with you?
pretty good, man.
Is it safe to say we have two lockdown corners on this team in Gilly and IRS? Why have I never thought about
That
nicknaming him IRS?
I don't know, man. His creativity is showing, man. I
Barls,
don't
bro.
know.
We need to link up.
Right.
We have some creativity meetings to go through, man, but just
The
need more pressure up front, and I love this defense.
IRS. It makes me
Gilly
mad
Lock
because
and
it's
IRS. So
so
easy.
simple. Yeah, it's so simple, but so creative because I never legit thought about calling Isaiah Rodgers Sr. IRS. That's dope. Yeah, man, it looks that way. It definitely appears that way. Stephon Gilmore has been phenomenal this season, man. He's been everything we've asked for. I don't quite think he's prime defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore, you know, but he's been awesome, man. He's been a leader in the secondary. He's been a closer in multiple games this season. And we see when the money's on the line, man, Gilmore goes go get it. And as far as Isaiah Rodgers, you know, when he has the opportunity, although now I would say it looks like the tide has turned on that. He's significantly outsnapped Brandon Faison. But Isaiah Rodgers has been playing great, man. He's the top five corner according to PFF ranking system. I believe they graded him at an 87 so far this season, 87.2 or something to that nature. He's playing sticky coverage, man. Two pass breakups this past Sunday. Smothering Davante Adams. I was just talking to Zach Hicks about it yesterday. You know, we was exchanging different thoughts on the way Isaiah Rodgers was playing. You know, that's his guy. He's high on Isaiah. He feel like Isaiah has all pro potential. You know, I don't know if I'm willing to go that far, but I'm definitely willing to say that he's a bona fide starter and can be a pro bowler for sure in this league. I think he's that talented and to get that out of a late round draft pick is just outstanding for him, man. If he can get the full time starting spot, which it looked like it's trending toward, I think we'll get a chance to see what he can really do because he's going to get a lot of action playing opposite of Stephon Gilmore.
Well, I mean, if Isaiah Rodgers isn't the full-time starter going forward, I'm just going to add a second suitcase to pack on my weekly trip up to West 56th Street when I pack Chris Strasser's bags. I'm just going to start packing Gus's as well.
Hey, you
Someone,
can't pack
someone.
Chris's bag this week, though.
Sure, I can. You're telling me that Jeff Saturday comes in 1 week and the offensive line's playing well? To me, that's even more reason that Chris Strasser needs to be gone. That's embarrassing, ridiculous that it took 10 weeks for this offensive line to even look average. And they look good this past week. Don't get me wrong. They look slightly above average. I'd even go out on a limb and say Will Fries not playing, though, for 10 weeks, embarrassing. He technically started one game, and they went back to Matt Pryor. Embarrassing. But if Isaiah Rodgers didn't start going forward, there'd just be some bigger issues to have be had with Mr. Bradley. But man, Isaiah Rodgers, man, I'm gonna make a very aggressive statement, a very bold. I think he has the best hip discipline in the corner room as a corner. I do. I think Gilly is way better instinctual right now. I think it's just more trustworthy between the two. I think Gilly overall has a better understanding of his hands and his footwork. Don't get me wrong.
Of course, yeah.
But Isaiah Rodgers' hip discipline is actually unreal. So, like, it's been talked about a lot about this play against the Raiders and Davante Adams. You've seen just about everyone post about it. But for him to get broke like he did, but his center mass stayed perfectly level to Davante Adams the entire time. And that is impressive. And you just start watching Isaiah Rodgers' game, and I'm getting a little football nerd on you. So if you guys back at home aren't film junkies, and you probably are like Destin, we really don't care. And I get it. But like
We're
Isaiah
losing
Rod,
people.
I know hip DBs are just one of my favorite positions as scout. Like when we talk about it this offseason, you guys will hear me talk about DBs a lot because I just love the ins and outs of being a DB. I think it is one of the hardest positions, if not the hardest position to play in the National Football League
I
outside
think
of
it is too
quarterback.
at the quarterback. Yeah, I would
But
say that.
the level of receiver in the National Football League right now is as good as it's been in a long time across the league. And to be a corner and have to do so many different things to stop these kind of guys is a near impossible task. And hip discipline is a thing that I think is not talked about enough between corners because when you give away that leverage and when you give away that style of it, you're just throwing your momentum away. You're just throwing the ability to make a play on the ball. So the big part of that play and why Davante Adams has that beautiful step back after the catch is because if you get the DB off center and you get the hip discipline going the wrong direction, that step back becomes almost impossible to stop because they're facing an opposite way. Like, how are you going to then make someone do a 180 and keep moving towards you? So Isaiah Rodgers' hip discipline, to me, is one of the most impressive parts about his game for such a young player that's not got to start a lot. So he's just gotten better each time that we've seen him. And I'll stop being a nerd for you guys now, but I'm very impressed with Isaiah Rodgers, and I had a piece come out today even that I think he is a star in the making, and I think it's a rising star because I think he's already a star in his own light. I think he just has the ability to do things that we haven't seen in a young corner in Indianapolis in a very long time. I think he's a future Pro Bowler. I think he has the skill set and the want to be great to even say that one day I would not be shocked if he was an all-pro guy.
Isaiah Rodgers definitely has that type of potential. That's why I let you take that question because I saw your piece today that was about the corner room it as a whole, but featured Isaiah Rodgers in the headline and in the story. So that's why I really wanted you to get that question because I know you had a lot to say about that particular topic. What we got next? I think we have a couple questions about the upcoming Eagles game, if I'm not mistaken, which is a good transition for us because we wanted to talk a little bit about the Eagles before we got up out of here. So our next question is from Antonio Castile. His at name is at Charles Dickens. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. What you give Charles Dickens? You're muted. Thanks, Destin. You're muted.
It was dramatic effect. I was
Okay.
just getting that riled up for you. I'm just gonna go a 6.5. I like it.
Yeah.
If you're a big Charles Dickens fan, I mean, good for you. It's also Dickens, so it's not all the way Dickens. So I'm curious if there's a reason for all
He
that.
probably
So
couldn't get the couldn't get the full spelling. I'm gonna assume
I am too.
that
But
Charles
yeah.
Dickens is taken.
So I'm gonna go 6.5 and go books.
I'm gonna go with the same thing. I'm gonna go with the same thing. I see on this page he's a philosopher and a writer, sports junkie. So you're good in my book. And he loves the media. So hey, two hunks for Antonio. I'm sorry we don't have a soundboard or anything for us to blow the horn. But his question is, do you think Parks has the knowledge to coach around the fact that Sirianni knows most of his personnel? I mean, I saw what Gruden did to the Raiders in the Super Bowl. That's pretty funny.
So I mean, Sirianni knows a good amount of the personnel. I think a lot of those players have jumped to a level that they were not at when Sirianni was here. And there's been so many quarterback changes that so many things have changed in the offense since Sirianni was here. So he definitely knows guys. I'm sure you can know a lot about Pittman's skills just by watching tape, though. So I really don't think Sirianni is going to have that much of a step up than the average coach that watches film on the Colts, personally, just because of so many differences that have happened since he's been here. Now, I don't know how to grade Parks' knowledge. It was one good game. It was. I think he called a good game. He stayed in his skill. He stayed within the T personnel's skill sets, and he just didn't get too cute with it. I think that was one of Frank's biggest downfalls at times is he just tried to outsmart himself even at times, and sometimes that would just bite him in the butt. I think Parks in his first game didn't try to do too much, and it was a good outing. I got to see more before I start grading his overall knowledge, though, of being a play caller. But it was one good week for sure.
Yeah, man. I can't really say. I think this would be a better question, if Frank Wright was still coaching, then I'm pretty sure Sirianni would have a pretty good handle on what to expect. But I'm pretty sure Park Fraser is coming out of left field with this stuff, man. Nobody pretty much knew what to expect from him. I saw the quote that he had where him and Matt Ryan had the conversation, and Matt just told him to do whatever he feels is right. They're gonna make him right, whatever he calls out there, which I think is awesome to have your veteran quarterback telling you that on your first time going out there to call plays. I really don't think Sirianni has an advantage, though. I mean, I know he knows the players, and he's definitely gonna use that to his advantage. But I think the best thing that could have happened to the Colts in this situation is having a new guy calling plays, and something totally unfamiliar to what Sirianni is accustomed to. Pretty sure he would have had a good handle on Frank ideologies and what Frank's likes to do and his tendencies in certain situations. But that's totally gone out the window right now. So I'm interested to see that matchup with between Parks Frazier and pretty much Jonathan Gannon, really.
This is true. And Parks should know a thing or two about Gannon from their time here, right? So
Exactly.
maybe Gannon's who I'm more worried about.
Mm-hmm.
But going over here to a very friendly listener, Matt Maringer, friend of the show, multiple time question and asker. I don't know if that was what I wanted to say, but that's what we're rolling with. Seeing how
Really?
Washington attacked this defense, should our game plan not be much different than last week? Philly is struggling on the interior defensive line, and that could be a strength if that trend continues.
My answer, it's going to depend on one thing, and I need Destin to look it up for me. Is Jordan Davis playing this Sunday? I think that had a lot to do with the success on the ground that Washington had against the Philadelphia Eagles. Jordan Davis has been phenomenal. A lot of you guys know about him from what he did at Georgia, but let me tell you, he's been having a great rookie season. The way they use him, It allows that defense to be so versatile when you have a guy like that in the middle, just eating up space and eating up multiple blockers. And without him, they're a different team. They are an entirely different team. And I know it's not a lot of times you can say that about a rookie and the impact he has on the game, but Jordan Davis does just that for the Eagles team, who struggled against the run last year before they got him, you know. So they made it a priority to go out and get this guy. You know, anybody that did a mock draft pretty much was targeting Jordan Davis to the Eagles. That was pretty much the gimme of our mock, one of the gimmies that we had in our first round mocks that we was doing. So I think it's gonna heavily depend on that.
So via his IR, he is not eligible to return till week 13. Versus the Titans, you love to see it.
Run, baby, run. Jonathan Taylor, 150, $150 for JT.
I mean, honestly, with the way the line was getting pushed this past week, you have to build off that no matter who the opponent was, in my opinion. Taylor is gonna see stacked boxes no matter what. The big one, though, is I know that Dameon Pierce for Houston, he faced a aggressive amount of stacked boxes, seven in the box for the against the Eagles. And I believe against that, he averaged like 7.2 yards per carry. The Eagles are just struggling right now, even when they stack the box against guys. So you got to attack that. Their secondary is way too good to let Matt Ryan throw 50 sometimes. And Darius Slay, Gardner Johnson back there. Like, Gardner Johnson has an interception in 5 straight weeks. Let's just not throw at him. Let's just end the streak because you didn't target him.
Is it really 5 straight weeks?
I believe that's
I
what
know
it
he
is,
has
right?
five on the season, and maybe they probably was all, you know, back to back week. I know he
I'll make
has.
sure, but I
I think
swear.
it might be 5 straight weeks. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be shocked if it is 5 straight weeks. That's ridiculous if he does, man.
You
Jesus.
got to end that.
Yeah, at some
Yep.
point, you know.
After his interception yesterday, Gardner Johnson has now had an interception in 5 straight games.
This is straight ridiculous.
So
I
they
know
had a
you.
bye. They had a bye within that. So I guess it's not 5 straight weeks technically.
I mean,
It's
it's
five, but
five
it's
straight
five straight
weeks.
games.
Nah, it's definitely 5 straight weeks. That's what we count that as. We
Yeah.
count that as 5 straight
And he
weeks
has
for sure.
six on the year.
He is ridiculous, bro.
Is that
Like
more interception? Is
that's.
that more interception than the Colts have on the year?
Good question. How many interceptions do the Colts have this year? I feel like
Shaq has
I can
one.
name them. Gilmore has one. Gilmore has one. McLeod has
Kenny Moore
one.
has one.
Kenny Moore has one. I know McLeod has one.
Shaq has one.
Yeah, Shaq. Does Bobby Alzaire have one?
Don't think Zaire does. All
I
right.
don't think he
The
does. I don't think he
Colts.
does either.
This is last year's stats.
Blackman doesn't.
This says we have 10, but I don't think that's accurate.
10 this season?
Sam, so I'm looking.
Destin is our stat man. So anybody that's looking to do, you know, if you need to want to be an intern, feel free to contact
Yeah, because this is not my specialty by any means.
feel free to contact us. We can get you college credit. We can't pay you, but we can
One,
get you college
two,
credit for sure.
Rodney Thomas, Shaq Leonard, Stephon Gilmore, Rodney McLeod.
That's it.
Those are the only players listed with interceptions this year, which would be four, which means Gardner Johnson does, in fact, have more interceptions than the entire Indianapolis Colts.
Jalen Hurts throws us one this Sunday, hopefully.
Kaizé Rodgers?
Speaking of who's probably going to get matched up a lot with DeVonta Smith, like to see that matchup. See Gilmore and AJ Brown.
Witchy.
Gilmore and AJ Brown, DeVonta Smith, and Isaiah Rodgers. I like those matchups, man. That should be very entertaining. For anybody that's not familiar with AJ Brown, feel free to visit the Stampede Blue website and check out my new article that's entitled Behind Enemy Lines. I featured AJ Brown, talked about his history a little bit with the Titans. Some of you might get PTSD from it, but it's very insightful on the ways that the Philadelphia Eagles are using him this season and the new role that he's playing with his new team and how what we can do to limit him. So, if you
Pray?
shameless plug,
Is
shameless plug.
that what you said to limit him was just pray?
Along those lines, a decorative way of saying pray, pretty much.
Light your
But
candles, get down on one knee, get down on both knees, hands together.
Let me see how much praying Destin has to do to predict the Colts winning. Destin, what's your predictions for this weekend, this Sunday?
I Saturday brought some magic against Las Vegas. Philadelphia lost to Washington this last week, though. That just changes everything for me. I think Philadelphia comes into Indianapolis. I think they are angry. I think they know they got to get the win. I think they are going to win, and I think they're going to do so 27-20. 27-20. You end up losing by 7.
That's not bad. That's actually not bad. I'm gonna lean with the Philadelphia Eagles as well. I just think they're one of the most talented teams, top to bottom in the NFL. This team doesn't really have like a visible weakness when you look at it. Well, I guess now running the run defense is a weakness now that they're suffering a couple of injuries, but they still have a great pass rush. A lot of guys who get after it. This Indy team is going to be challenged, man. I think it's a good challenge for them. But I'm going to go with the Eagles, 31-24. I think the Colts score some points this week. I think the offense continues to play well. I just think the Eagles just score a little bit more due to the fact that they have more explosive players. And in that offense, I think Nick Sirianni is getting the most out of those guys right now. And they definitely need to bounce back because they're in a tight division race right now with the Cowboys and the New York Football Giants. So do they have anything else you want to say, Destin, before we get up out of here?
I don't know how many weeks in a row it's been that we've seen a starter benched for someone else. As the week went, but it feels like we have a good streak going.
You couldn't make it out the show without mentioning that, huh?
So, do you think there's any surprise starting changes at the starting lineup this week? Do you think anyone is moved out, anyone moved in specifically, or do you think we have a quiet week?
I think everybody that started last week that's healthy will start this week offensively. Defensively, I'm just not sure about. I don't know if Quiddy's gonna play, man. Quiddy has me worried. I hopefully he does play. I haven't heard anything else. I need to make some phone calls and figure out if Quiddy's gonna be out there, man. We'll know more after the practice tomorrow. I think I'm gonna go. I'm gonna run, go. They run it back. Run it back with the same lineup they had last week.
I'm gonna say I guess I don't know if this is like the announced starters, but I think DeForest Buckner will have more snaps at edge than he does in the interior, and we'll see Dio take his starting spot in the interior.
I hate that. Destin heard something. He's not. He doesn't. Destin, what you heard?
I'm just saying what I'm just saying. There's
I
been a
hate it when he
little bit.
does this.
There's been a little reports come out that there is some interest, maybe that if Kwity Paye can't go, that they could be a little creative with how they go. The depth and edge on this team right now is just a struggle. Another reason why I said that that's a spot that I could imagine the team targeting. And with Yannick struggling, I think you have to make it to where the guy opposite of him is going to get attention so you can attempt to open him up a little bit. DeForest is getting double teamed no matter where you put him. I think you put him on the edge, you let him use that athleticism, let him work out that area. I think you want Dio to be on the field, put him in that DeForest Buckner role. And I think that's the best four to put out there. And I think the best way for success is for it to be DeForest Buckner. And I mean, it's been said out there. I think everyone knows it. I just think, from what I've heard, I don't think Kwity Paye this week. I don't think Kwity plays. I think they give him at least the week off after a little bit of a re-aggravation there, so you can get him fully healthy. And I think to combat that, they messed around with the Buckner on the edge a little bit last week, but I think we see it at a way higher rate this week.
There you have it. There you have it. Well, this has been another episode of the Saddle Up Show, brought to you by Stampede Blue, the official coach site of SB Nation. I am Rashad McGinnis. That is the Destin Adams. We'll see y'all next week.